You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wake up! Wake up, Cole!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Big hour coming up to get you going on your Friday morning. We've got Alex Strofe joining us. He is the host of Bucks at 6, ESPN Milwaukee. Bucks ready to close it out tonight against the Celtics, and Boston's going to try to force a Game 7 coming up on Sunday. We will talk about Milwaukee's comeback in Game 5, how they're doing this without Chris Middleton, the emergence of Drew Holiday. They've been waiting for him to come on, and just the overall excellence of Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll also talk to Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports on the NFL release party that they had yesterday for the schedule. His thoughts on that, and also something that we discussed yesterday. I kind of made fun of it a little bit because I just think it's a little silly. I think there's an over-the-topness to this release thing. But, and I'm not, and I'm going to go into this without knowing much, but is there a gambling aspect to this where you can maybe cash in on, or at least get some early future bets down based on the schedule? Like, is there something about that that can help gambling? Well, again, we have no idea what the teams are going to look like, all of that. But is there something, is there an aspect of gambling that can be taken away from the schedule release and how the games lay themselves out? We'll ask Frank about that coming up. We'll also get his ideas on some of these games, including the Denver Broncos against the Seattle Seahawks, with Russell Wilson right out of the gate has to go up against his former team in his former city with his new team. I find that a remarkable scheduling quirk that they went and did that for Russell Wilson. They're like, hey, good that you've got a new team. That's fantastic. Just letting you know, you'll be playing against your former team and all the emotions that come with that in the opening game of the season. Oh, no, by the way, it's going to be on national TV on Monday Night Football. So enjoy. Yeah, that's pretty good of the NFL to do that. But there is a method. There is a method to the schedule being released and the order of the teams and the way it sort of plays itself out. Now, I know we don't do a lot with that, but there is. We'll talk to Frank coming up. But can Milwaukee close out this series tonight, move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they would have a date with the Miami Heat? They got to win tonight, or if they don't, they got to win in Boston again on Sunday. Alex Strofe joins us next. ESPN Milwaukee, host of Bucks at 6. It's next on SportsMap Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Milwaukee Bucks have Game 6 tonight against the Boston Celtics. They are up 3-2 after winning Game 5 in Boston, which they had an amazing, amazing comeback in that Game 5 in the fourth quarter. That game looked done. That game looked wrapped up for Boston. And then Milwaukee came back, and now they can close it out tonight with Game 6. Alex Strofe joins us, ESPN Milwaukee host of Bucks at 6 on a Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. How are you, Alex?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. All right, so listen, there's obviously bigger wins in Bucks playoff history, winning the championship and all of that. But where does this one rank? I mean, this was dead in the water, and yet they found a way late in that game to come back and steal that game from Boston.
Yeah, it's high up there, Tony, right? I mean, I've been trying to process this for the last, not quite 48 hours, but almost that. And, yeah, it's right up there. I think it's comparable to the Game 7 win in the same series against the Nets last year, where if Kevin Durant's shoe size was just a little bit smaller,
they win that
game. So, I think it ranks right there with that one. Game 5, which set up the obvious eventual clinch clincher for the Bucks against the Suns last year was also, you know, a thrilling come-from-behind victory late in the fourth quarter. But this might be the most improbable, right? Down 14 at a point in the fourth quarter. And, you know, there was multiple moments in that fourth quarter in which I said to myself, yeah, this one's over. We can pack it up. And then all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute. And then Giannis, of all people, has a wide open look at the top of the arc. And if you're a Bucks fan, like I am, you're thinking to yourself, oh, please don't shoot that. Oh, thank God he shot that, right? So there were just several of those moments late in that game. I still can't believe they won it because it was that improbable.
It's amazing how Giannis can have a 40-point, 11-rebound night, but I think the real buzz was Drew Holiday and the way he played with 24 points. Where has he been in this series, and what was that kind of performance for him, and how much was it needed from him in Game 5?
Yeah, I think your last point there, right? Like, how big or how much was it needed is the important part here. He's been active. He's been as active as he's been all season from an offensive standpoint. He just hasn't been as efficient as he has been all season from an offensive standpoint. Obviously, with Chris Middleton out, he has been asked to do a lot more offensively, right? He becomes that number two option without debate. So he's been taking a lot more shots than he typically does in games 3 and 4. He took about 30 shots in each of those games, and he was not, again, very efficient. He was making under 10. So to finally see him come around and hit some clutch shots was obviously, you know, it was encouraging. I think he finished 9 of 24. But I think what you're getting at, Tony, I assume, is obviously the last 10 seconds of that game.
Sure.
Where he has a block and then he throws it off Marcus Smart to maintain the possession. And then just a little bit later, steals from Marcus Smart, making Drew Holiday look like the true defensive player of the year. So it was terrific to see him really come through. They obviously don't win that game without him, I don't think. I think that last deal, he had a great look for Tatum. Go ahead.
Give us an idea of Chris Middleton with him out. We've seen these playoffs where players are missing and how they look without particular players, whether it was early with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, Ja Morant in Memphis. But with Chris Middleton, how has Milwaukee had to adapt without him?
Yeah, they've tried a slew of things, right? I think different lineups. They got really creative with their lineups late in that Chicago series and early in this Boston series. You could never plan for one of your best players being out, right? I think it's an old saying that Tom Moore had when he was the offensive coordinator of the Colts with Peyton Manning. He said, we don't practice being effed with 18 not on the field or something
right.
like that, right? You can't do that in professional sports. So obviously they don't know what they're going to look like without a baller like Chris Middleton, but they've been good. And to your point, right, like I've heard this crazy narrative all of a sudden that maybe the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant.
Right,
what are
yeah.
you talking about, right? Like, what are we doing here? They figured it out, Tony. They found a way to win, impressively win like they did the other night without Chris Middleton. But holy crap, man, if you can get him back, this team's going to be in really good shape because they've found their groove without him, and I don't think him coming back will affect chemistry or anything. So if they can get past Boston tonight and hang on and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, man, they've got a shot. I'll just put it that way. They've got a shot.
It's funny that you mentioned that because every time I talk about Memphis and I talk about the way they look without Ja Morant on the floor, I always have to preface it by saying I'm not implying that they're better without Ja Morant. Every time I do that because it's hard to describe how good they are without him. It's sort of the same thing. You never ever say it's hard to say next man up, right? Because replacing guys that are extremely important. They're not just replaceable with a guy off the bench.
No, right, exactly. You're replacing some of the best players in the world. And
right.
In John Morant's case, one of the hottest players in the world, right? What the level he's been playing at. It's just a different game, both for Chris Middleton and obviously the Grizzlies without Ja, the Bucks, to your point, have found a way to win without Chris, and it's been impressive the way they've done it with that next man up mentality.
I got to tell you, one of the more impressive moments of that game for me was Bobby Portis when he went out and got that putback. Celtics should be ashamed of themselves that they can't get that rebound. They get that rebound, they get to the line, and then all of a sudden it's a different game. I personally like Bobby Portis. I remember him from Arkansas. How has he done in this series?
In this series, it's been really interesting, Tony, because in game four, he played 15 minutes. He didn't even see the floor in the fourth quarter. So for a game later to be on the floor and do what he did in that situation, it was just really weird. It was a tale of two games, right?
Right.
So he's been solid. I mean, he's been asked to provide, but as I said earlier, Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Bucks, has gotten really creative with some of his lineups. And in game four, it just happened that Bobby wasn't really part of those. And in game five, he was. So, he's been a guy off the bench when Chris went out initially in that Chicago series, but Bobby slid into the starting lineup and was starting. And then I think it was game two or three of this Boston series, he made the swap of Grayson Allen for Bobby Portis in the starting lineup. So he had a little bit of a different role, or has had a little bit of a different role, but he's still one of those main contributors off the bench. And to your point, I like him too, and so does the entire freaking city of Milwaukee.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah. He is a Milwaukee guy. Every time he does anything, dude, he could like cut his fingernail, and I think Pfizer Forum in the Deer District would be chanting, "Bobby, Bobby." he is loved here.
What is your overall take on this series? If you pull yourself back a little bit and just look at the way these two teams are playing, I mean, you get a Milwaukee dominating performance in game one, Celtics a dominating performance in game two, the Bucks win. It's somewhat controversial with Marcus Smart at the end. Al Horford has an incredible fourth quarter in game four. Now you have this incredible comeback in game five. It feels like every possible storyline you can have in a game is being written by these two teams.
Yeah, I think it's the Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Sure.
I think we knew these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And maybe you'll disagree with me there, Tony, but I really felt coming into this series, the winner of the East coming out of this series. And I think it's lived up to the hype, right? Obviously, you hate when injuries happen, and obviously Chris Middleton hasn't been a part of the series at all, but also the Marcus Smart angle early in the series. Now you've got Robert Williams dealing with something on the Celtics side. So you can't predict injuries, but it's lived up to the hype. I mean, every game has been back and forth, and really only one blowout, I think, in this entire series. Two blowouts, I guess, in this entire series. So it's been just terrific. And again, I compare it to last year's series between the Bucks and the Nets in the Eastern Conference semis, because it was just the same way, right? It was punch you in the face. Oh, I'm getting punched back in the face, and so on. So we're seeing a great example of that again, and it's been thrilling. But Tony, as a Bucks fan, man, I'm just begging them to please get it done tonight. Don't
sure.
let it get back to Boston, because it's really hard to win three games on the road in the same series.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. This may be nothing. It may be a lot. Do you have an idea or just a thought on? Is there anything that this team is doing this year in the postseason that is a direct relationship to them winning the championship last year? Are they conducting themselves a different way? Are they looking a different way? Are they reacting to different obstacles in a different way?
Tony, I'm a radio guy too, so I'm just going to compliment you off the top. Great question.
Thank you.
look, I think game five was a good example of that, right? Like, there was a moment at the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter, I think they're down 12 points, and Mike Budenholzer takes a timeout. And Greg Matzik, my teammate with ESPN Milwaukee, asked I think it was Bobby Portis after the game, great question about, you know, what was said there. And he pretty much said, it was just keep our composure. We were calm, cool, and collected in the huddle. Whereas I think you and I can both agree, we've seen a lot of teams who would not handle that situation
sure.
very well. Right down 14 on the road, going to lose the lead in the series. You know, you'd go down 3-2, obviously, if you lose that game. But then they come out of that huddle, and that's where it was go time. And they weren't right back in it for several minutes, but they wouldn't go away either. And I think that was just fundamentally looked like an experienced team. And they never lost sight of it. And then I just got to talk about Drew Holiday again, right? Like, that guy is a baller. And I think he's a champion, right, obviously, from last year. But on the court, he conducts himself that way as well. And those last 10 seconds were as clutch defensively as it gets. I did a segment yesterday on Bucks at Six, and I just talked about how sexy defense can be. Because Drew Holiday made defense look sexy on,
without a doubt.
On the other night.
Without a doubt. Alex, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always. Hope we get you back on again if this team continues to progress in the postseason, my man.
Bucks and Six. Thanks, Tony. We'll do it
you
again.
You got it. Bucks and Six, ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Strofe joining us to talk about the Bucks again, who can close out the series tonight in Milwaukee. They know he's right. You don't want to go back to Boston for Game 7. It's very difficult to win three road games. I mean, listen, I mean, as you guys know, I grew up at a time where this, you know, Celtics' old Boston Garden was, you know, a house of horrors for visiting teams to go to Boston and play. But Milwaukee has done a very good job in Boston. This series, as I said earlier, has gotten everything attached to it. I mean, seriously. I mean, blowout here, blowout there. Controversial call. Great performance. Individual performance, right? Al Horford in the fourth quarter of Game 4. Then you have this team in Milwaukee that's down, dead in the water. Boston's going to cruise, get out of there. The Game 5, they fight back. Not only do they fight back, the people involved in the comeback put up great clutch moments, produce in great clutch moments. And now we'll see what we've got tonight for Game 6. This has been a great series. When you talk about, we talked earlier kind of jokingly about Phoenix and Dallas. Does either one of these teams want to play a close basketball game? Compare that to this series where we haven't had all the games close, but we've had enough conversation about why we're getting the outcomes in these games. A different way of talking about it rather than, up, oh, Phoenix blew them out, up, oh, Dallas blew them out, up, oh, Phoenix blew them out again. This has been, look at what's happening here. Look at what happened here. Look at the way this has been changed. Look at the way this team is. It's been a fascinating series. And I think he's right. This, again, this is nothing against Miami. And I've got a lot of respect for Miami. You heard me talk about this earlier this morning, if you did. I love Eric Spoelstra. Jimmy Butler has found a home. Heat are dangerous, but I think the best team is coming out of this series in the Eastern Conference. All right, we will talk to Frank Schwab coming up at 40 past the hour on the NFL schedule release. Some of his thoughts on some of the really good matchups that we'll be getting this NFL season and when we'll be getting them as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes, Frank Schwab will join us from Yahoo Sports as we talk NFL schedule. Hey, Freol Deep Penetrating Oil delivers 3 times more lubricant, so it takes less time, less torque, and less spray than any other deep penetrating oil to get the job done. So whether or not you have rusty chains and gears, or you need an axle nut removed, or you've got rusted nuts and bolts, or you need to remove a fuel tank, stuck ball joints, threaded pipe connectors, you name it, Freol Deep Penetrating Oil can help. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. We would love for you to give it a try because I think it will really help you for all those projects that you need to get done. And you can find it on the shelves of AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa Auto Parts stores, as well as select Walmart stores. It's Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Again, less spray, less torque means less time to get the job done. Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, again, thanks to Alex Strofe in Milwaukee. Very interesting. Again, I've had a lot of fun watching this series, and I'll see how it goes tonight. But I kind of think that the point he's made about the way this team has responded, it is interesting. Sometimes it's a team wins a championship, and it doesn't change them much. Like, it may change the way they view them, you know, are viewed, right? They're champions now, but the way they do business, if you will, the way they play basketball doesn't change them. But you also can grow from experiences like that. When you've gone through tough series and you've overcome adversity, you rely on that. And I keep wondering about how much Milwaukee has gotten out of that. Because remember during the regular season, you know, they sort of played up and down. And you know, they were moments where they looked fantastic. And there were moments they didn't look all that fantastic. But, you know, it's 82 games. It's a long season. You can't be, you know, winning 72 games or something crazy like that just because you won the championship the year before. But, you know, they tried to avoid Brooklyn in the first round. They got an easier Chicago opponent. And now they've got the Celtics team. And Boston really has been in a position to win the last 4 games of the series. First game, they got blown out. But they've been in a position to win these last 4 games. And now Milwaukee is 1 game away, 1 win away from winning this thing. Rich Strike, the Kentucky Derby winner, will not be participating in the Preakness Stakes. So I was a little disappointed in this. But then I realized, actually, this this isn't a bad idea for the owner, right? They're not going to win the Kentucky Derby. So why not just go, nah, we're done. We barely got into the Kentucky Derby field, and we won the Derby, and why not? Why don't we just be done?
Yeah.
I don't know. Give the horse some time to rest. Maybe run him at the Belmont. I mean, look, you got to know what you have here, right? If you're the owner and the trainer of this horse. You had a horse that barely got into this thing, the Kentucky Derby. And he's an 80-1 long shot, and he wins it. And it is a quick turnaround for the Preakness. He's not under the same sort of training schedule as other horses that are going to run all three legs of the Triple Crown. That's not the way this horse was trained. This horse was trained to run in the Kentucky Derby with probably no thought that it would even run in the Preakness or make the Preakness field, and now it can. And now it's like, whoa, we're not really ready for this, and it's like in another week. So at first I was kind of disappointed because, I mean, this is a fun story. But then I understand what's best for the horse because, let's be honest, you can kill a horse if you overtrain it and put it in positions where it's not quite ready. And you want to be careful.
When I first saw it come across, I was bummed.
I was bummed too.
I was like, yeah. Oh, you know, I would have loved to see what the odds would be now that it's a Kentucky Derby winner.
Yeah, without question. I mean, we it's not like we're dying for a Triple Crown winner again. We just had two in the last 10 years, even sooner than that, maybe 7. But at the same time, I like these stories. Like when you take the Kentucky Derby winner out of the Preakness, I hate to say this, horse racing fans, you're losing a lot of the interest that people have in this sport.
Yep.
I don't mean to knock the Preakness, but if it's not part of the leg of the Triple Crown, meaning that the winner of the Derby gets a shot to win that, it loses a lot of its spunk.
Well, I mean, now we already know there's not going to be a Triple Crown winner this year.
Right. Think of Tiger Woods not playing in the PGA. If that, you know, like you'd go, oh, in his prime, right?
Or
you'd be like,
how about think of 2000, 10 to 2018.
Right. Think of that. Yeah. Think of that.
You know, how much did the PGA suffer? I mean, they were trying desperately to anoint a new Tiger Woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Slapping Tiger Woods on any young golfer who had any success at all.
And again, it wasn't, you know, it was such a great story being an 80-1 shot. But always remember, this was, when you look at the Derby again, if you watch that again, which is just, by the way, still fascinating, even, was it a week ago? Was it 2 weeks or a week ago? When did we have the Kentucky Derby? It was last weekend, right? Yeah, it was this past weekend. The way that horse was in the back of the pack and then found an opening to get to the front, it's not like Rich Strike started off and was, you know, at the front of the field and it was a legit 80-1 shot. It's not going to be the favorite for the Preakness just because it won the Derby. It's not a favorite to win the race. It could be a betting favorite. A lot of people could put money on it because why not? What the heck? But the experts are not going to peg Rich Strike as a Preakness favorite just because it won the Derby. It might be a little better, but he is what he is. I mean, and when you talk about the same strong horses in the field, it's probably best that he's not running, right? Although
it
apparently did go down as a surprise. So people did expect him to run. So I guess it was a surprise. So we'll see. But that's too bad because this is one of my favorite stories of the year so far.
Yeah.
Is this horse.
But, I mean, you're absolutely right. No one's really going to tune into the Preakness. The Belmont might as well not even happen.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, wouldn't you want to ride a little of the Kentucky Derby fame without tainting it with losses?
Right.
Like at the Preakness. Like what if the horse finishes 10th at the Belmont? I mean, at the Preakness. You put him in the Preakness,
again,
and he runs 10th.
Again, like, I mean, it wasn't like this horse led wire to wire. It had one of the most amazing runs we've ever seen.
Right.
And so much to the point we're like, you know, we're all in on drone cameras now because it was like that was the most
beautiful,
fantastic view of that. I kind of think that, you know, he could make some noise.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like a NASCAR driver that wins the Daytona 500, like, just found a rhythm and a groove and some things that went right. But it doesn't make him a NASCAR champion, right? It just means like they may never win again. It reminds me of that. Like every now and then an underdog emerges, but it doesn't make them now the best horse of 2022. It's a Kentucky Derby winner under great circumstances.
Have current events affected the ability for you to pay your bills? Has your credit card debt overwhelmed you? Has your income decreased?
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go back out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. NFL schedule released yesterday. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, joins us. We talk about this every year, Frank. Every year we do this deal.
We've been going on like 2 decades of time. And it never has... It's not gone down in popularity. Schedule release day is like it's still this strange holiday we get in either April or May. And hey, it's why not nerd out on it? I guess
is it because again it's not some again it's just the dates and the networks and what time, but is it just the feeling of not completion because there's still some work to be done, but just an overall sense of I'm getting a better, fuller picture of this season of something I can't wait to get started.
Yes, and I think it's just easier for, you know, I mean, the Broncos knew they were playing the Seahawks and the Rams, but it's different when you're like, oh, they're playing the Seahawks week 1. I can, like, start to mentally figure out, oh, wow, that I could picture that in my head, or Rams are at Christmas, wow. You're already thinking ahead 6 months to, like, okay, how could I, you know, get away from the family after we open presents to go watch Russell Wilson against Matthew Stafford. So there's just something, and I do it too, there's just something about having the dates on the calendar. You can know exactly who each team is playing, but kind of being able to visualize it in your head of, oh, this primetime game or that Thanksgiving game. It's just different, and I guess that's why we get so excited. It's just that time of the off season where we're just close enough to football where we're like, it gets the juices flowing for football again.
What did you make of the Broncos going to see? I mean, there's two ways I look at it. It's like, okay, if you're Russell Wilson, all right, game on, let's go. Go back to Seattle, week 1. Play my former team in my former city. But on the other hand, they don't even let him have enough regular season games under his belt with his new team before he's got to go to Seattle and deal with all of that.
And I think that, I mean, I'm just guessing here because it's a new situation for him. It's hard to get a read on him sometimes. But I feel like of all the guys going back to their old places, this is going to be one of those that's a little more emotional than most. I feel like Russ has never hid that he had loved Seattle, loved the Seahawks. It's just the relationship soured between him and the team, and that happens. But I think it's going to be pretty tough for him to just play football that night. I think it's going to be, and you're dealing with a ton of different things. You're dealing with, you know, new teammates, new scheme, new, you know, everything's new. And now you're dealing on top of that with, you're probably going to get a video tribute on the board and the fans are going to give you a standing ovation. And that's going to be really emotional for you after 10 years starting for him. So it is. It's a very tough opener. You'd want that game, like, give me a few weeks. You're absolutely right. Now, the converse of that is the Seahawks might stink this year. I mean, they really might.
Sure.
So we'll see, though. I mean, it's a great home field advantage. Week 1's always kind of a little loony. So, but yes, of all the weeks, week 1 is not the one that Russ wanted that homecoming, I guarantee you.
I'm kind of curious your thoughts, because I know you've done a lot of stuff now with the influence of gambling and the presence in the sport. Is there a gambling angle to yesterday that bettors can take on how this thing plays out? I know it's early, but is there an edge at all to knowing where this thing is heading?
Not really. I mean, I've thought about that a lot. Nobody's ever really given me a great explanation of how this can be actionable in the betting sphere.
Sure.
People talk about, like, you know, win totals for the season, and, well, what if a team has 3 road games in a row? Well, then they're going to get 3 home games at some point. They're going to get, you know, it all evens out. It's not like these teams that complain about the 3 straight road games or not having a home opener in week 3. It's not like they're having 10 road games with 7 home games. Like, it's all going to even out at the end as much as you can even out in a 17-game season. I mean, there's some things you can look at. Like, if warm weather in the Green Bay in December, Buffalo September. Yeah, that makes a little bit of a difference. A team going to Miami in September instead of November when it's really humid and usually hot and wears teams down in Miami, and they have a little bit of an edge, sure. But these are minor things. And honestly, just because we knew who everybody was playing, it really doesn't make a huge difference, in my mind anyway.
When you look at this schedule, is there anything that stood out? Is there any way the schedule went for a certain team? I'll give you an example. I looked at Minnesota, and it was pointed out that their first three divisional games are at home. Their final three divisional games are all on the road, and they come within the last 5 weeks of the season. I mean, when you're a team like Minnesota that's always hovering around playoff viability, that's a tough way to close the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, one team we looked at last night, when we did a podcast, me, Charles Robinson, and Eric Edholm, we talked about the Steelers. And it's interesting because their quarterback situation. I believe they start at the Bengals. Their week two is really Patriots. So you get Bengals week one, Patriots week two. You get a Thursday night game at Cleveland on week three. You're talking about a quarterback. Like, in just terms of your quarterback situation, you're talking about you might start 0-3. I don't let you know, the Steelers are a competitive team. And I don't want to put them in that hole necessarily, but it's possible. We can look at that schedule and say it's possible. And then all of a sudden it's like, is that when they move from Trubisky to Kenny Pickett if you start 0-3? And they play the Jets in week four. So stuff like that interests me. The fact that, I mean, not that this is competitive-wise, but I think I heard the Patriots get four straight primetime games.
Wow.
That's crazy to me. Yeah, I mean, it just happens that way. And also, I mean, you look at stuff like, I don't think the Bills or the Rams wanted that game in week one. You don't want to come out of the gates with the Bills are probably thinking, oh, okay, this season where we have these high expectations, we got to go play the Rams on the night they're raising a banner. The Rams are probably thinking, great, we get to start the season against the team favored to win the Super Bowl this year. Neither team is probably happy to start with that, you know, in meat grinder and in the first game of week one. So, but it does all even out. Even the Bills have a tough road game in week one. Well, that probably means they get, you know, the Jets in a spot later in the season where they could take advantage of that. So it all kind of evens out. But yes, you look for these certain things that you're like, whoa, this is a little bit of a tough stretch. Like you talk about the Vikings late in the year, they better make some money early in the year then, because you know it's coming. You know, it's, hey, if we're not in a good position by December, we're really going to be up against it.
You know, we've always had to deal with media rights and all these media entities getting decent games, but with Amazon involved now, and now you just feel like there's a different way we're consuming this sport. What do you make of this? I mean, where are we going with streaming added on to the natural networks and cable that already broadcast these games?
Yeah, I guess that's just the way it's all going. And Amazon's got the money to pay for it, then that's how it's going to be. I can't imagine the NFL's model of free over-the-air TV on major networks ever goes away, because that's what built the sport. Like, there's no doubt about it. When baseball, I remember, you know, that doesn't sound like an old man, but I mean, I remember growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Brewers home games were not on television. If they played County Stadium, they were never on TV. That's changed a lot, obviously. But while baseball was struggling with that, the NFL was like, here's games every Sunday. We'll put games of the week on, you know, noon and three and you know, we'll have primetime games so you can see as much as you want over the air major networks. We've seen that change a little bit, and now the Amazon thing feels like a new frontier of, okay, we're going to try this subscription streaming service. Now, what's next? Is Netflix going to overpay and take it from CBS? I mean, I don't think that's happening anytime soon, but it's possible. And one thing I think that really was pointed out last night, and you know, you look at it and it's true, Amazon did not get bad games. Amazon got great games. This is the best Thursday night schedule I've ever seen, and it's a direct relation. I think the NFL said, okay, Amazon's joining the fray here, and you know, we're going to give this the best chance possible to work. We're not just putting Jaguars Texans on Amazon. We're going to give you guys great games, Chargers Chiefs, the games like that every single week. It was very much a change. Like, you could tell, like, this Thursday night schedule is different, and that tells you what investment the NFL has into making this work.
That's exactly right, because that Thursday night game was always like, well, we have to give somebody a national championship game.
Yeah.
Our national televised game. Throw them on Thursday.
Yeah, we have to play. we have to put the Texans on sometime. Right. Put them on Thursday. Put them against somebody else bad so we can burn both of them. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you're right. Like, put them with a bad team. We'll kill two birds with one stone week six, and then we don't have to deal with them again. But you're right. Looking through the Thursday night schedule, it's fantastic. I guess the argument will be there's just not enough good games to go around all the time. Like, eventually, you know, somebody's going to have to take a game that's kind of a dud.
Right. And also, I mean, it's just, we don't know. Like, a game like, I don't know anything late Thursday night off the top of my head, but let's say it's Bengals-Ravens late in the season on a Thursday night. It could end up that, you know, Joe Burrow gets hurt in week four and Lamar Jackson gets hurt in week eight, and we're like, oh, how did the NFL put this game on? Whereas, as we sit here today, the day after the schedule comes out, it looks like a great matchup. So, there's a lot of luck involved in matchups like that. But, yes, I think that, you know, they do their best. And you're right. You got to put the Jaguars on somewhere. I mean, you got to put the Texans on somewhere. You got to get them one nationally televised game. But I think they did a good job being creative with that and moving it around to where at least there's some intrigue on all these games.
All right, I can't let you go. I have to ask you about the Bucks. We just did a segment on the Bucks-Celtics game, and I figured if I got you, I might as well ask you. What do you make of this series? Because we were just talking about how I feel like every storyline you could have in a basketball series has been used in this last five games.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I'm a Milwaukee-born Bucks fan, so I've been riding a roller coaster here. A couple things stand out, and one, the number one thing, that win or lose, no matter what happens in these last two games, the whole debate of the best player in the world is over.
Like, it's over.
It's Giannis. And then, and then we can start at number two, and that's fine if you want Luka or whoever. But number one is set. And because I've put it this way, if the Nuggets called the Bucks saying, we'll send you Jokic for Giannis, the Bucks hang up. If the Bucks called the Nuggets saying, hey, we'll trade Giannis for Jokic, that trade is done in 5 seconds.
Second.
I mean, it's just the way it is. Jokic deserves MVP. I'm not trying to take it from him. I like him, too. But Giannis is the best player on the planet, and he's absolutely carrying this team. There is a little bit of don't underestimate the heart of a champion type of thing going on in this series. The Celtics are probably the better team. They were great in the regular season. They're great in sweeping the Nets, but the Bucks are just competitive, man. I sat here on my couch after game five for a good solid 10 minutes just thinking about the game and reliving it, and finally I just texted my good buddy back in Wisconsin and said, how the heck did we win that game? Oh. It was unbelievable how they won that game. I just still can't really wrap my head around it.
I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I've been following Celtics basketball my whole life growing up in New England, and I've seen Celtics fans have to deal with Dr. J winning game 7 in 82. I've seen the baby skyhook of Magic Johnson. I've seen it all. I have never seen a loss like that in the postseason for the Celtics team, where that game was wrapped up, done, turn it off, and somehow they just blew it. Just everything fell apart. They can't get a rebound off a missed free throw that would have put them to the line to seal it. They can't do anything. There's defensive lapses. There's offensive lapses. A complete mess. Unless Milwaukee deserves everything coming out of that game. Everything coming out of that game.
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, we go into game six. The one I've still wondered for a couple things. The Bucks haven't been great in the fourth quarters. They were in game five, I guess. But part of that's the Middleton injury because he's the closer. I mean, the Bucks play a certain way where Giannis basically takes the first 45 minutes of the game, and then the last 3 minutes are, okay, we can't really give him the ball because he's going to go on the line. And he's not great there, obviously. Chris Middleton's our closer. Well, Middleton's not there anymore. Drew Holiday really played that role very well in game five. So that worries me in a close game, which I think this is going to be tonight. And, you know, and it's how much can Giannis give? I mean, he is just doing everything for this team. And you wonder, I do wonder, like, are they going to have anything left for the Heat?
Sure.
Like, if they get by. And there's no guarantee for that. The Celtics could easily win game six and seven. But it's a fascinating series. Been very, very competitive. I can't wait for tonight. I literally woke up today thinking, hey, we got game six tonight in Fiserv Forum. Can't wait to see it. It's just been a great series. It's been fun. And I do get the vibes, as long as the Bucks have something left after this, whoever wins the series probably winning a championship. This just feels like these are the two best teams, and it's crazy that we're getting them against each other in the second round.
This is why you need to come on, because I know you so well. I bring you on for NFL, but I will get you your thoughts on your team. I will always try.
I love it, man. It gets me a little jump in my step talking about my Milwaukee Bucks. You know, we could do a whole hour on like game five and six of the finals last year. I'll do it all night. I don't care.
Frank, good talking to you as always, my friend. Thank you much. We'll catch up soon.
Love it, Tony. Thank you, man.
You got it. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, on the NFL and a little Milwaukee Bucks. I had to couldn't resist. Thoughts on tonight's Game 6. Big one tonight. Progressive Insurance. Bundle Protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the show as get you ready for the weekend. It is Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us again as we close out this hour, get you ready for the weekend. A reminder, when you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay, a Total Wine and More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com. That's TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly, B21. Glad to chat with Frank Schwab. I'm glad we were able to get some little Milwaukee Bucks talk. You see how excited he was? To talk about the Bucks, this is going to be a fun game tonight. And I'm not kidding. As I said earlier, look, the Celtics have had some bad home playoff losses. All right, you go back to 2017, I think. There was Cavaliers. I'm trying to remember the score off the top of my head, and I can't really remember it. It was just an absolute throttling. It was like 130-87 or something. It was an annihilation of the Eastern Conference Finals. It was game two at the Garden. 130-86 was the score of that game. But you go back to the 80s. I mean, you can go back to, again, the Sixers winning game seven at the Garden in 82. That was the famous Beat LA game where the fans wanted Philadelphia to go beat Los Angeles in the NBA Finals. So they started chanting for the Sixers to beat LA. You can go back to Magic Johnson, the baby Skyhook. But for a game to be locked up, like, you can point to a loss and say, well, they got blown out. They never led in that game against Cleveland. They lost by a million. You know, Cavaliers were up by 50 at one point, sure. But with just a handful of minutes left, they're up by double digits. And Milwaukee comes back and win it. That's devastating. Absolutely devastating. It's not the best, worst loss, but it's up there. It's up there on the list of what happened in Game 5 of the series with Milwaukee. Well, have a great weekend, everybody.